TV.
Okay, well, talk about having a special guest in the studio here. I have someone who's a native of Canton, Ohio, which, what a coincidence, I am too.
And is that you?
Was that you? I grew up at in a nice house in the suburbs in Canton, Ohio, and you did too.
I think so. Sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching your screen here instead of listening in the car, just heard a lovely female voice. This is my sister, Kelly, who has been my sister now for, how old are you? Oh, sorry.
Oh,
if I give away, no. It's better than asking you how old you are.
64, that's fine.
Oh, you don't mind? 64, wow. See, I'm 2 years older. I'm 66. Yeah. I was born before her, 2 years.
Yeah, and a half.
And she told me something like just 15 minutes ago that I didn't know, and that was more like a half hour ago. I didn't realize this. Apparently, I had a very negative reaction when you were born. What happened?
I don't know. Mom said she wanted you to pat the baby on the head.
Pat the baby on the head.
But it was more of a slap.
What, a pound?
I think she had to keep you away from me for a little while, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Is it too late to apologize?
No.
Okay. Kelly and I, we grew up in first of all, a lot of you know Kelly.
Hi.
Because she's the one who puts the shows together every day. She makes sure that you get the email from the videos. She's very humble about it. She doesn't like to be talked about. In fact, it's a miracle that she's sitting here next to me. I'm shocked that she agreed to be on the show. Not only did she agree, but she volunteered.
I did volunteer. I didn't even wait for you to ask. I volunteered.
Yeah, no, she didn't wait for me to ask. She volunteered. So I'm very happy that she's here. And she had never been to, well, you haven't visited me in Florida. This is the first time, so this is nice. So we were raised by, as I've told these folks, you know that, I always talk about my childhood, about how great it was. And you were a part of that.
Yes.
You were a part of that.
I'm a reason, maybe the reason why it was so great. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
No, we had
a fairy tale childhood. And and we played games together, and we only had one argument. Our entire lives, and I always get it wrong. And yes, we argue about what the argument was. Today, we argue about what the argument was. So I'll let her, we're going to talk about some spiritual things here. But I'll let her tell you what she thinks we argued about.
It was the Monopoly argument?
Yeah, the Monopoly game. How old were we? Where were we?
I have no idea. It was in the basement. We were playing with Steve, but I don't know.
Oh, Steve. Say no more. Okay.
I can't believe we're talking about this.
This is important. People want to know. This is very personal.
I don't know. It was, if somebody decides they land on a property and they don't want to buy it, then it's up to the other two people to bid on the property. But I didn't want it. And then you were like, we'll take it for a dollar. And I'm like, well, that's not fair because you can't bid by yourself. And we couldn't find anything in the rules.
Well, if we're playing with Steve, why couldn't Steve and me bid against each other to buy the property if you didn't want it?
He probably landed on it and didn't want it.
It's like Steve landed on, like, say, Park Place or Connecticut Avenue or something in Monopoly. So he didn't want it. So you and I started to...
I didn't want it either, or couldn't afford it, or something like that. So you're like, I'll take it for a dollar.
Okay, well, that's a bidding war. I get it for a dollar. You didn't want it.
I don't know. Why do we got to talk about that?
Very important.
We're going to start on a wrong foot here. Okay.
Okay. Well, my sister and I were both raised by the same two lovely parents, who are unfortunately not with us today. But they raised us, and we went to church, the Catholic Church, our whole lives, and my dad was the first one to leave. Right? Am I right about that? Our dad.
I think when we were older and he didn't feel like it was, when we were young, it was a family thing and he always wanted to be, you know, a family.
Yeah, but our dad set a great example about being a family.
Right. But when we got older, you know, he was kind of like, okay, you know, we're good.
Enough of this standing, sitting. He did it for the sake of the family because he loved our mother. He knew the Catholic Church was BS.
Right.
Right. He knew it the whole time.
Right. I give him credit for that.
We give him credit for that. We didn't know that at first.
No.
But you figured it out before I did.
Yes.
Do tell. I'm embarrassed about this. That my sister realized that the Catholic Church was BS before I did. I've never admitted this, but now, today, on MZTV, Well, rare edition with my own sister, my dear sister Kelly here. I'm so happy to love you. I love you, Kelly. I love you so much. We both talk about how much we need each other because, you know, when you're in a family and there's only four of us, me and my sister, my mom and dad, and with mom and dad gone, nobody else knows what it was like, you know, to be in our family. It's like when you think of the Beatles, there's two of them left, Paul and Ringo. And when you think of one of them dying, you realize then there's only one guy left who knows what happened. You can't talk. So many times we appreciate being able to talk to each other about something that happened as a kid or what, you know, some vacation we had. And if we were alone, my God, why am I talking about something so depressing?
Is this from Monopoly to this? That's pretty bad.
This is depressing. No, that's not true. I went from Monopoly to the Catholic Church to this.
Okay.
But I'm going back to
the Catholic Church. Let's go back to the
I'm going to go back to the Catholic Church because now I'm going to brag about you. That you realized before I did about the Catholic Church. So Dad left, and we were maybe early teens. And by the way, the only reason I had friends in school is because they all wanted to date my sister. They used me to get access to her. She can't deny it. Did you see a denial?
Well, I kind of used you, too.
You used me, too?
I used you. Remember I said, this is who you need to invite to the pool. Invite this guy, this guy, this guy.
Oh, my God. I was suckered right into that. I realized that. And I thought you just had a taste for an invitation. I didn't know there was an evil motive behind it.
It wasn't evil, but it was a motive.
It was a motive. It's all natural. Okay, that was interesting. Where were we?
Catholic Church.
What?
Catholic Church.
Okay, so Dad left. I mean, he didn't make a big deal about it. He just said, I think I'll stay home this week and then next week and then boom. And then it was me, you, and Mom. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you flew the coop. What inspired that?
It wasn't. It kind of was a gradual progression of rebellion that I had. As a kid, I don't know why, I told my seventh grade nun, Sister Lorena.
Okay.
Well. I told her that I didn't believe in God one day. I'm not sure why. I don't remember why, but I remember going home and Dad talking to me about it. And I was kind of like, Dad, the agnostic, talking to me about believing in God was kind of weird. But then we had a, thing with communion. You remember when they started, used to be you could only, the host was so sacred.
Yes.
That you couldn't touch it.
No.
The priest was the only one that could touch the host, exactly just like that. And then remember they started to commission
lay people, normal people. Same people.
Normal or abnormal, whatever, but our seventh grade teacher, Mr. Kranick, was giving out communion, and I just was like, I had heard other churches, they were taking it in their hand, like, you know, they would take the host, and then
the priest would put it in your hand.
Yeah, but we never did that at our church, but I did.
Oh.
I was just a rebel. I just went up to Kranick, and I just held out my hands like this, and he just looked at me. And he put it in my hand. And I remember going back to the pew and telling Mom, I took it in my hand. It was like a big deal.
Was this before or after you told Sister Lorena that you didn't believe in God?
It was after.
This the same week? What the hell happened to you?
No, it was all spread.
And why? Okay, but you did believe in God the whole time. Why did you tell Sister Lorena you didn't? Just to agitate her?
I don't remember the motive behind that. Okay. I don't think I did it. I think I was probably turning it around in my head somehow, in my spirit. Something was wrong because of where we were in the church. I don't know why I said that.
Your instincts were ahead of mine at that time. They really were because you ended up leaving. Oh, by the way, you know, I found out later in life how rebellious you really were. And she was way ahead of me in the rebellion world. Like, I was a straight-laced kid all through high school, never drank, never did anything, never stayed out late. I was just, me and my friends would go and play Space Invaders at the bowling alley. That was our big night, you know. And this kid was, God, like you were way ahead of me in the rebellion department.
Yeah, I was taking the host in my hand.
Yeah, I mean, she took the host in her hand, for crying out loud. How can you get crazier than that?
And
why did you, okay, go ahead, tell me. No, I want some more information.
I think it was sophomore year, Mr. Nagley or something. We had a values class, and he went around the room, and people were supposed to mention what they were prejudiced against.
Okay.
And there, people were like different races or, you know, religions or whatever their prejudices were.
And what did you say, Kelly? What did you tell Mr. Nagley you were prejudiced against?
Nuns and popes. I did. It's in my journal.
Like there's ever more than one pope. You mean nuns and priests?
No, I said nuns and popes. And like everybody looked at me and Nagley was like, that's what I mean. It was a progression of, I don't know. I think I recognized that it was weird or something. I don't know. But when I left, we were at St. Joe's, because John's downtown.
Yeah, St. John's. I remember it. Yeah.
Because we used to church hop because we didn't like who was at our church.
Well, so. The only reason we would church hop is if our mom church hop. Like, yeah. We followed her like little grasshoppers wherever she went. Let's try St. John's. Okay. Let's try St. Mike's. Okay. Right. So I remember St. John's a little bit. So why did you quit and how did it happen? How did you tell mom?
Well, I just remember that was the last time because I vividly remember standing there watching everyone pray by rote. I mean, just like robotic prayer. Yeah. And I remember thinking, no one in here even knows what they're talking about. And they don't know what they're saying, and they don't care. And I walked out of there, and I remember walking across the street to the parked car, and I remember thinking, I'm never coming back here.
Whoa.
I don't remember telling mom. I don't remember anything else. It was just, I remember walking across the street thinking, these people are a bunch of hypocrites. That's what I thought of them.
Man, you had that spiritual instinct, you know, that you knew they were hypocrites. So after you left, I was a little shocked because I remember at the time, this is embarrassing to admit to the audience here, but
it's okay.
After you left, this is very difficult. Help me through it.
It's okay.
After you left, I remember telling you that it's very important to eat Jesus. Very important. You have to at least eat Jesus.
You did not.
Yes, I did. I told you the communion was importante. Very importante. In English and Spanish, important that you must, Kelly. I remember telling you that you have to eat Jesus' body to be in the body of Christ.
Oh, you were afraid for my. You were afraid for my salvation.
I was afraid for your salvation.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You finally found out. I finally admitted it to you, but you don't remember it. It was a dark hour in my history,
you
for sure.
Making that up, I have no idea if you were making that up.
I'm not making it up at all.
Okay,
that's what happened. So then it was me and Mom. Me and Mama went to church. And then it was also at St. John's. I think you left at St. Joe's. No?
It would be weird if I did. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
It's possible, but I don't remember.
Yeah, nobody leaves from St. Joe's. I left from St. John's. I remember one day I told my mom, I don't think I'm going to come back here. So then it was poor. After all those years, it was our mom was the last one left in the Catholic Church. So. But you've always been inclined toward God, as I was. And you wonder why that is. It's so weird. I mean, I guess because was the Catholic Church in a way a good influence on us as far as thinking about God? Or was it totally negative?
Oh, no, it was. But I also remember, you probably remember this too, we didn't have, the kids that we played with in the neighborhood were not Catholic. Well, some of them were, but they didn't go to church. So when we, like, okay, stop the baseball game, we have to go to church. You know, there's kind of that feeling of, you know, we're going to church and you're not, so something's wrong with you. You know what I mean? Where you get that religious puffed up where you think you're not that, you know, you think you're better than somebody else because you're going to church. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember we had that influence, right? The neighborhood kids were the heathen. We lived with heathen. Like, but they were so, I mean, relatively, they were nice kids. I'm not saying they were like carjackers or... smokers, or they weren't doing drugs at age 13, but you know, well, I don't know. You know more about that than me. I don't know.
Well, but the thing was that we were, I don't know. I lost my thought when you started talking about carjackers. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. But you were making the point that we had a spiritual instinct and we got less religious by hanging out with normal people. And we realized that, holy crap, maybe we're the religious people.
Yeah, I didn't think of it as being, I thought of it as being a good person because we were going to church. I thought of it as a good thing. But then after I looked at it and saw the hypocrisy, I left, and it was like 10 years before I went anywhere. And then I thought, well, I want to go to a church where they, you know, are happy about God and not sitting there going, boo.
So, yeah, I was going to ask you about that next. So it took 10 years for you to get the Catholic system chammied out of you. Then what happened?
I found a little Pentecostal church in my neighborhood, and I just walked in out of the blue. I just thought, I want to go there. And I walked in there, and the first thing somebody said to me, I sat down, they're like, are you saved? And I just went, yeah, like, yeah. And then I thought, well, this is great. You know, they're talking about God, they're singing, they're happy, they're, you know, this and that. And then after a while, I realized that they were like the most miserable people I'd ever met, because all they did, seriously, was fight the devil. I mean, it was like they would come to church and they would be like, oh, I was in my room last night and I saw, you know, a shadow and it was devil. And I just said, you know, get out. And I'm thinking, I never thought about that. And then I was like, oh, man, do I have to worry about fighting the devil now? You know, it was just, and they were hell and, you know, talking about hell and all this stuff. And then as I started to get to kind of halfway know people, I just started hearing these terrible stories, and they were just like not happy people.
Wow.
And I thought, ooh. And then I met you.
That had all changed. What happened? Tell me what happened when you met me.
Well, I was at your house, and you told me the gospel for the first time. I mean, the real about not... There it was no hell, and you made it make sense to me, because I could never make sense out of the scriptures. I bought an what did I have? What are the
NIV?
Yeah, or an ASB or something like that. And I could never reconcile, you know, God loves everyone, and you know, God is love, and all this, but you know, you're going to go to hell, and I couldn't reconcile that like everybody else out there, and I didn't get it. And then when you told me about the two gospels, and hell wasn't even in the Bible and all that, I was just like, I was one of those people that the light went on, and, or the antenna, whatever, and I just went, oh my God, that's great. I get it. That is so great. So I went back, and that was it. I left the church, and it was, they were mad because they had a volleyball team, and I was playing on their volleyball team. And
you're quite a volleyball player.
Well, I was, I had to quit the team. So I had, it's not like I couldn't just walk out of church and like not come back and nobody would notice, because I had to say like, well, I'm leaving because I'm not going to be playing volleyball anymore. So
the only reason they loved you and wanted you in that church, because you were the star of the church volleyball team.
Yeah. And they sucked. They were bad. So it wasn't the worst thing they were at, but it was, so anyway, yeah, I left there, never went back, and got a concordant and started going to the conferences, and was very thankful that you told me the truth.
Wow. That makes me feel really great. I mean, that God used me to bring one of the most important people in my life to the truth. And then the conferences, as many of the folks know, we had a conference in Willard, Ohio, which is a neighboring town to Greenwich, and Kelly was there every summer. We had a conference over the weekend, and 60 people would come from all over the United States, and Kelly was there, and she watched her big brother. She'd watch her, listen to her big brother teaching, and
very proud of you. I'm very proud of him, and I still am.
God, that's fantastic.
Most important person in my life.
Say that again, please.
The most important person in my life.
Oh, Kelly. I love you. I love you, little sister. My God. And I remember when I wrote my first book in 2001, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, I needed help. And I asked you if you would help with the book publishing. And at the time, I had done some teaching in Seattle, Washington. And I talked to a guy named Stan Hartman. And he said, you know, you should start a book company, start a publishing company. And I never even considered it before. Start a publishing company. Wow. You know, I always thought trying to get my book sold to other publishing companies. And he said, why don't you just start your own? And I thought, God, how the heck do you do that? And then I asked you, I said, hey, Kelly, how would you like to start a publishing company? You remember that moment?
I do. We were at Denny's.
I guess I don't remember that moment. We were at Denny's.
I guess that's something we're not going to talk about then.
No, let's talk about it. No. We don't.
Yeah, we were meeting about it and you were telling me about Stan wanting to put up some money for it. And so, yeah, we did it.
And that was how many years ago now? That was
1999.
That was 2000. So 26 years ago. Yeah. The Stark and Hartman. I've been doing the work since 93, but the publishing company has been existent. And then I instantly assigned her president of Stark and Hartman because I didn't want all those responsibilities.
Right. Neither do I, but that's okay.
Yeah, near to you, but that's okay. It's been a hard road, folks. I mean, it's been a struggle. Publishing, the things that we have to do, I mean, I'm trying to just be totally honest here. My sister and I, while we are brilliant people and kindest of hearts and very intelligent, when it comes to being organized and when it comes to, you know, it's like organization maybe isn't our strongest suit. Would you say that
we're
kind of flops in the organization department?
We both need pushed, and neither of us pushes each other.
And we need prayer. We need push and prayer. We need prayer.
Right.
And we can't push each other because we're both like lame asses.
Exactly. Thank you. I am a lame ass.
I'll say it for both of us. It's like, oh, no, so I can
true.
Do.
It's true. No, it's a struggle. I mean, it wasn't at first. It was easier because I was a little more motivated, but it got tiresome and yeah, I need pushed, and I don't get it from you. And you don't get it from me because...
Well, no. But and yet every day we do the job. And sometimes it's just by habit. But we know we're doing something noble. And we know that we're getting people the truth. And people tell us. And you folks have told us over and over again. And I love it how everybody mentions Kelly.
Yeah, thank you.
And now that I'm happily married, a lot of people mention Maria. They're always mentioning her in the comments, which is great to see. And so I love seeing my wife in the comments. I love seeing Kelly in the comments. Anytime anyone recognizes the role that Maria has in my life and the role that Kelly has had in this walk of faith, because it's not just the publishing company, it's being in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the whole thing, we discussed these crazy other teachings. And so, I mean, we're both in it together, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm motivated in that respect, but still, we're talking because Maria is sitting right there. That's why we keep on.
Yeah, we're looking at Maria. She's over here.
She's there.
She's over here. I'm going to interview her one of these days.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to interview her one of these days.
Go for it.
Yeah,
but it has been a pleasure to have my sister and my wife here. And
this is for the final.
Yes.
What?
Oh, so we have to thank out there, folks, for supporting the work. And Kelly... It's, you know, I mean, it's sometimes, I really can't say it's thankless work, but because it's not. Because of you, you're our encouragement out there, and of course you help keep us going financially. It's always been that way. We've been a freelance organization, but we're definitely part of a family, all of us, and we're a literal family here in this room, but with you, we're a large extended family, the body of Christ, and I'm a blessed man to have the love of my wife and my sister, and here they are. And here's my sister with me. Never recorded a show with me, but those conference days were great. But Kelly, I appreciate. Yeah, you're going to be here for 2 or 3 days. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm going to have to do my thing on his computer. So if you guys don't get your MP3s or emails or whatever, I might fail you for a couple days. I don't know, but I'll do what I can.
Yeah, Kelly's gonna have to fly by the seat of her pants here, producing the show every day. So we'll do what we can. But anyway, I'm so thankful that you're here.
I'm thankful to be here.
Yeah,
I know it's been a long time coming, but
yeah,
you know, certain things dictate what you can do and what you can't do, and it just worked out. So I'm happy to be here.
And I'll do a quick promotion right before we end here. As I was talking, my wife Maria handed me this book. It's like, I think you were saying, like, here's an example of what you and your sister have done. This is one of the books I've written over the last, I've written 14, but more to come. I keep saying that, but, you know, undergoing a trial here. But anyway, yes, this is one of the books that we've published. It's called Martin Zenner Goes to Hell. If anyone is new watching the show, we believe not according to Christian traditions. We believe that the scriptures are inspired, and that to get understanding of what God is saying, one has to go to the original languages and do a little bit of research to find out what God actually said. And the truth is far greater, far more glorious than we were ever taught in the Catholic religion. So we're all in this together. If you don't have this book, you can go to our website, martinzender.com, and order it.
If you go to order it, there's a sale where you can, for $19.95, you can get that book and Flawed by Design and Martin Zender's Guide to Intelligent Prayer.
This is an incredible deal, folks. I've never heard about this. For one day, and one day only, a special at Start and Hartman. What's the special again? It's not one day only. What is it again? Say it again. This is fantastic. I'm going to order these books. What are they called?
It's on there all the time.
It's on there all the time. That shows you how much I know about my own website. Please repeat that.
It's not on your website.
It's not on my website.
If you click on the books on his website, it'll take you to the Stark and Hartman store, and it's a special for $19.95. They're $10.95 a piece, but for $19.95 you get three of them.
Three books for $19.95, and they're usually $10.95 a piece.
Yeah, so it's great.
That's incredible.
A great little package to send to new people that want to know what's going on.
Tell me the three books again, and then I'll leave you alone.
Martin Zender Goes to Hell, Flawed by Design.
Flawed by Design.
The Leaping Jesus. Oh, no, what the hell is that over there? Flawed by Design and Martin Zender's Guide to Intelligent Prayer.
Okay. That'd be a great three books to give to your friends and soon-to-be ex-friends.
Yes.
We encourage you to do that. So, Kelly, thanks again for coming down. And I love you very much. You're the best sister I ever had.
The best brother I've ever had.
And on that happy note, we'll see you all tomorrow. Yes.